We'll talk about a Christian sacrifice. The Apostle Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To begin with tonight, I want you to picture a scene in your mind. It's high noon in Jerusalem. And outside the north wall of Jerusalem, north side, there's a large crowd of people who have gathered together. And they are witnessing an account, an event that will change the destiny of all mankind, because Jesus is being crucified. And there on that cross at high noon, all of a sudden, God flips the light switch and the lights go out all over the world. The world is plunged into a darkness that lasts for 3 hours. Now back in the temple in Jerusalem, the priests are there preparing for the evening sacrifice, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I believe that about that time a voice was heard echoing throughout the city, because Jesus cried with a loud voice, "It is finished! Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Now at that moment, that very moment, the sun began to shine again. The lights came on. And also at that very moment, that giant veil in the temple was torn in half from the top to the bottom by a mighty invisible hand. And the sacred holy of holies, where no one but the high priest could enter, and he could only go in once a year, but suddenly that place is made accessible. Jesus Christ, the true high priest, has opened the way so that all mankind can approach the very presence of God. They can come boldly through Jesus' atoning blood. Now, the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, that ceased a long time ago. When the temple, Solomon's temple, was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, that was the end of that. Well, they came back after their captivity and they offered sacrifices and things like that then, but it was not like it used to be, you know what I mean? But today, believers in Christ still have one more sacrifice to offer. One more sacrifice. We are called upon to present our physical bodies as a living sacrifice to God. That's what we're living in right now. Our bodies, a living sacrifice. You think about this. We as individuals are going to be controlled by one of three great forces in this life. By far, the majority of people live in the natural man, controlled by the natural lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life sort of thing. Satanically energized to live in sin. That's the natural man. Secondly, he can live a self-centered life, living only to satisfy his own selfish desires, trying to accumulate as much as he can during this lifetime. Or third, we can be spirit controlled. I'm talking about living our life in compliance with the will of Almighty God. We got a choice. Now, he tells us here, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Ye, that means you. You do it. No one else can do it for you. Your spouse cannot do it for you. Your children cannot do it for you. Your parents cannot do it for you. This is something that you do yourself. You are the only one that can do it. And you can't do it for anyone else. It's something that we as individuals have to do. And that's what our text is all about. And let's look at these verses here. He said that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. When we think of sacrifices, we do automatically go back to the Old Testament sacrifices, when the Jew would bring his sacrifice to the altar and its blood would, he'd lay his hands on the head of that animal and confess his sins, and in type he was transferring his sins to this innocent animal that was going to substitute for him, and then that animal would be taken and its blood would be shed and he would be rid of his sins. That word present is the same word that's translated in other parts of the Bible as yield. Present is spelled the same way as a present. We know what a present is. Present is something you give somebody. So when we present our bodies to the Lord, we are giving them to Him. Yield. Romans chapter 6, verse 13, we're told, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Yield yourself unto God as being alive from the dead, because we were dead in trespasses and in sins. But we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He forgave our sins, and we were born again, and we live in Him. So we are to yield ourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, the members of your body, your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's my hands, my arms, my legs, my feet, the members of my body yielded to God as instruments of righteousness. Now, what does it mean to present or to yield? That is a voluntary, once for all act. When the believer submits himself, attitudes and actions, his body, soul, and spirit to God for God's use. The word present is a technical term. It's used for the offerings of the Levitical sacrifice in the Old Testament. But you know, a Christian sacrifice is far different from that that the Israelite offered. The Israelite brought his animal as a substitutionary sacrifice. The Christian offers himself. The Israelite offered a dead sacrifice upon an altar. The Christian is called upon to offer unto God a living sacrifice. The Israelite was commanded by the law. God said, "Thou shalt," to bring a mandatory sacrifice. He was ordered by the law to do it. But the Christian is beseeched to bring a voluntary sacrifice of himself. The Old Testament people were commanded under the law to bring the sacrifices. We are beseeched to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Beseech means to beg or to implore. Means to reason. And we are beseeched by the mercies of God. That's the basis. And these mercies are enumerated here in the book of Romans, chapter 1 through 11. Now, I want you to understand, God is beseeching us. He's not commanding us to do this. It's a voluntary thing on our part. God does not save us by grace to put us under law. Remember that. Now, the mercies of God are all of the blessings that a Christian receives through redemption, justification, and sanctification by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the mercies of God. Now, when a person, when an individual accepts Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he is baptized, immersed into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body? And it's the same body. What actually takes place is set forth in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Listen to this. Know ye not, he's saying, don't you know, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together, now when you plant something, you put it in the ground and you cover it up, don't you? Planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Christ died. He was planted. He was buried. The third day he rose again in resurrection splendor. Remember the law of sowing, and you sow the seed, and the seed goes into the ground. It dies. Except it go into the ground, it abides alone. But you put it in the ground and it will die. But out of that death comes life. That's what he's talking about here. Now let's look at it. First of all, he says that I am baptized into Christ's death. That means that when Christ died on the cross, I died with him. His death was my death, and I'm identified with his crucifixion. As Paul was saying, we'll get to this later, I'm crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, so we're baptized into Christ's death, and then secondly, we are identified with Christ in his burial. Joseph and Nicodemus took Jesus down from the cross. They prepared his physical body, wrapped it in the burial clothes, and placed it in Joseph's new tomb. He was buried. Now, burial removes a person from the world. So, we are removed from Satan's control and the power of sin. We're planted together with Christ. And third, I'm identified with Christ in his resurrection from the dead. I am raised to newness of life in Christ, separated from the old life of sin. Become a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, since I have died with Christ, been buried with him, and have been raised with him, since I am risen with Christ, I am asked, not demanded, not commanded, but he asks, he beseeches us to live in newness of life. How can I do that? By seeking those things which are above. Listen at this. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. And it's through this resurrection power that's provided by Christ through the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus told his disciples, he says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You can't do this in the energies of the flesh. You do it through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, let me give you four words in Romans chapter 6 that sum up our relationship with Christ. We're still in Romans 12, but we're going back to Romans 6 for a moment. Four words. First of all, I am to know, K-N-O-W, with absolute certainty that I have been crucified, buried, and risen with Christ in newness of life. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, what? That our old man is crucified with him. Romans 6:3. Know ye not that we are buried with him? And Romans 6:9. Knowing this, what? Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. The word know. Second word is reckon. I am to reckon. That word reckon means to count as a reliable fact. What? Romans 6:11. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Reckon. Third word is yield. I'm to yield myself to the control of the Holy Spirit. Romans 6:13, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Romans 6:16, yield yourselves to God as servants of obedience unto righteousness. Romans 6:19, yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. Know, reckon, yield. One more in verse 17 of Romans 6. I am to obey. He says, obey from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Now, here's what happens to a person in salvation. According to Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's it. Think of this in the light of what he said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Know ye not that your body, now that's what he's asking us in Romans 12, 1, to present to God as a living sacrifice. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When you give yourself to him, you're just giving him what he has purchased through his death on Calvary. Now let's go back to Romans 12:1. The Christian's offering of himself to God is considered holy, acceptable and reasonable. It's holy because we are separated unto God for righteous purposes. It is acceptable because God is pleased. He's actually happy and joyful with such a commitment that we make. It's acceptable unto Him. And then it is reasonable because we are already His. We belong to Him. We've been bought with a price. So it's reasonable. It's not unreasonable at all. And then he talks about our service. Now, our service to Him is not like the service of the Old Testament priest when he performed those external ceremonial duties around the tabernacle and the temple. But our reasonable service is a service that flows from our inner commitment to the Lord. We have been freed from sin's control to live under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, when a believer presents his body as a living sacrifice, there's a transformation, change that takes place. He gives us the negative first. He says, be not conformed to this world. Conform means to fashion or shape one thing like another. That's to conform. Don't be conformed to what? This world. What does he mean by this world? It refers to the spiritual and the moral characteristics of the age in which we live. Now, Paul identifies that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. When he tells us what we were without the grace of God. He said, in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's that? Satan, the old devil. In time past, we walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Now that's being conformed to the world. And he tells us here, we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God and be not conformed to this world. This world. A person who habitually loves the things of the world cannot love God at the same time. Do you know that? John writes in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then he tells us that the world passes away. It dies. It's going to be burned up and all things therein. It's temporal. It's fading. It won't last. Love of the world is manifested, John tells us, in three specific areas. One of them is pleasure. Oh, do we live in a pleasure-mad world today? Oh, I'll tell you. The lust of the flesh, that which desires to satisfy the natural sin nature of man. Pleasure. Possessions. The lust of the eyes. A desire for things. covetousness, wanting what others have. That's forbidden under God's Ten Commandments, isn't it? Thou shalt not covet. The third one is pride. Pleasure, possessions, and pride. The pride of life. That's pride of possessions and position and power and prestige and popularity. Now that's all the negative there. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That's the positive. Now, transformed comes from the Greek word metamorphosis. Transformed. It means any complete change in appearance or character. Here a while back, I was watching the National Geographic Channel on television. And it showed that old caterpillar. Yeah. You've seen it. You know what I'm talking about. Isn't this amazing that he comes out here and he attaches himself to a limb of a bush or tree and just hangs there. And the slow motion cameras that are filming this shows him as he's being enveloped in this cocoon. And after a period of time, you know, I saw this. I grew up around this. We had that when I was a kid. And out of that cocoon would come that beautiful monarch butterfly. That's a complete transformation. And that's what he's talking about here. Transformed. Now, how is this accomplished? How does it come about? How does it take place? He tells us, by the renewing of your mind. Our minds get renewed. Remember Paul wrote in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Our mind is renewed when we saturate ourselves with the Word of God. And through prayer, communion with God, the Holy Spirit transforms us into the very image of Christ. Solomon tells us in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you think with the mind of the natural man, so is you. And if you think with the mind of Christ, that's right. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, when our mind is renewed, we can prove, this is what he tells us here in Romans 12, we can prove the will of God. And we can prove it, he tells us, in three ways. First, we find that the will of God is good. Good. That's morally honorable. Free from all evil. Pure. And second, we find the will of God is acceptable. It's well-pleasing to God. It's satisfactory to God. Acceptable. And third, we find that the will of God is perfect. That means whole, complete, brought to completeness. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. It is complete. So the Christian who surrenders his body as a living sacrifice, he does it voluntarily. He's renewed daily by the indwelling Holy Spirit, and he will know that the will of God is good and well-pleasing and complete. Now there'll be times when you may want to crawl off the altar and take things in your own hands and change your own life and control your own destiny. But just remember the encouraging words of our Lord Jesus Christ over in John chapter 15, verse 5, when he said, I love this. He said, I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. You can do nothing. And, you know, in studying this, I ran across something that was a blessing to me, and I think it'll be a blessing to you. You and I worry about the fruit. Is my life producing the fruit that it should? And most of us don't even know what fruit our life should be producing. Is it bringing forth persimmons or apples or watermelons or what? But when you read the scriptures, the branches do not produce the fruit. It's the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Doesn't the Bible make a big list of the fruits of the Spirit? Yes. It's the Spirit of God that produces the fruits. All we do is bear them. We are the branch that the fruits of the Spirit are growing on. You see that? Isn't that wonderful? It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not something I do, not something you do. It's something that God does in us. He produces the fruit. All we do is just bear it. He's the vine. We're the branches. And you said, without me, you can't do very much? No. He said, without me, you can't do anything. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed. Be transformed. That's up to us. We're the ones that are asked to present our bodies. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. It's something I have to do myself. But when we present our bodies to God, Christ does the work in us. We yield ourselves to Him. You know what yield is? You drive down the road, you see a sign there that says yield. That means you surrender the right of way. You surrender the right of way. You pull out into heavy traffic like that and get in an accident, it's your fault. You didn't yield. Oh, isn't God good?